and to worship with you. I'm really thankful for this church and the friendship and the partnership. It's wonderful to be hosted by you here on Mondays, and it feels like the relationship is stronger than ever. And it's such a blessing to me and to all of us at St. Hild College. And I love that you've been talking about welcome, and that you've been talking about Thanksgiving. I think welcome in particular is a huge New Testament theme that I don't think the church talks about a whole lot in general. And so it's exciting. And when Mick mentioned that to me, Mick kind of gave me an open, he said, you can talk about, you know, whatever you want along those lines. And I thought, I've never really taught on hospitality before. And I just felt excited about doing that. It's such a key New Testament theme. And I think it's such an important calling on this particular church as well. And so I hope this will be helpful in talking about practicing hospitality. The ancient Jews considered hospitality to be a form of worshiping God. They worshiped God through the hospitality that they showed to people around them, both within their community and to strangers. So it's a great New Testament theme, and here's a key occurrence of it. We're going to actually look at the word in a minute, but I wanted to start by just looking at Romans 12, verse 13. It says, share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. And I like that phrase, practice. The word means seek after, strive for, pursue. It's about process. It's about intense effort, and practice captures it quite well, because it's the sense of have a go, have a try, you know, work with it and learn about it. And as we'll see, always when Scripture talks about this, the command about hospitality is unconditional. You know, it doesn't say practice hospitality if you have the time or if you have the money, or if it's convenient, or if you have a nice big house, or if you have a perfect dishware set. It just says, have a go. Practice. Go for it. And I just want to say up front, hospitality comes with a cost. It demands old-fashioned work. It can be inconvenient. It can be time-consuming. I bet there are a few of you here who, when you hear this word, you just feel tired. You're just like, I have done that. I've tried that. And I hope that God says something fresh to you in particular today. It can put a strain on our families. Sometimes our guests can abuse our hospitality. And that can be really awkward, can't it? What do you do, you know? It can even be, it can be costly. And I think that's why hospitality is such a concrete, down-to-earth test of our love for God and for people. Hospitality puts the flesh on this kind of ethereal concept of love, this abstract idea. It's specific, it's tangible, it's love in action. It's the flesh and muscle on bones of love. It's where the reality of our love is tested and shown. So I want to give you a quick Greek lesson, because who doesn't love a quick Greek lesson in a sermon, right? Yeah, thank you. One of you does. So I just want to teach you a couple of Greek words. You can say them with me. The first is philoxenia. Can you say that? Philoxenia. One more time. Philoxenia. Good. And then the second, philoxenos. Very good. Those are the main words for hospitality in the New Testament. And it's interesting, they actually come from two words, which you can see, philos, which means friend, or phileia. You may have heard that kind of brotherly love. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. It's this idea of being friendly or kind or loving towards. And then the second word is xenos, which is about the stranger, the foreigner, the alien, the guest. You might have heard xenophobia. That is a fear of the other, a fear of the stranger, of the foreigner. So literally what this word means is to be friendly or kind to the outsider, the stranger. And one is a noun, one is the adjective, hospitable and hospitality. And there are five occurrences, and it's just worth saying, philoxenos, those second two, second and third, 1 Timothy and Titus, those are in the passages where Paul is talking about qualifications for church leaders, and he says they must be hospitable. And then we've already looked at Romans 12, 13, and we're going to look at the other couple. So we'll have seen all of these occurrences in this message. And then there's a whole other word group based on a word, dekomai, which is to welcome, to receive. And that's interesting. It's in the Gospels and it's in Acts a lot. It's a very similar idea, welcoming. But I want to look specifically this morning at the instances of hospitality and hospitable in the New Testament. Okay? So here we go. Showing hospitality to who? We can group the biblical occurrences, I think, around three big applications of hospitality. The first is our fellow believers. Here's the 1 Peter 4 passage. It says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. I just appreciate that he says without grumbling there. You know, I think the recipients of this letter must have grumbled a bit about this. He says, offer it generously, kindly. And I love how it's a reflection of this loving each other deeply as well. And with a cheerful heart, with a cheerful attitude. There's something amazing about the instant connection with other believers, other brothers and sisters in Christ that we have through hospitality. And I was thinking about this. An experience that I had that really marked me was when I first came to Sheffield, almost 13 years ago now. So we were coming to plant a church, and I had worked really hard over the years before to meet various different church leaders and connect with churches. And some of them had received me warmly, and some of them, I think, had maybe felt a bit threatened. It was a dynamic I hadn't quite anticipated. But there was one particular church leader who, when I met him, he said, and I'm not going to say his name, just for a set of reasons, but he's still a church leader here in town. And he said to me, Daniel, I want to welcome you into this city and do everything I can to help you succeed. So they had us over to their house for meals. He proceeded to introduce me to all these other church leaders in the city and ended up being a real person of peace for us, in a sense, a bridge into all these relationships. And then he said to me, so the Sunday before we were doing our kind of public launch as a church, our Sunday service, he said, I want you to bring your whole team to our church service and we want to bless you. So I was like, okay, we can do that. So it was 6 adults and 6 children. And so we went to his service, and he had prepped his whole church to pray that week for us and to bring these prophetic words and prophetic gifts. And so they brought us up in front of the congregation, and they gave us, for me, somebody gave me a seed bag, like a farmer's seed bag, and they said, you have an abundant seed to sow into this city here. And it really, and they clapped for us, and they welcomed us, and I have never felt so kind of hosted and welcomed in my life. And then he said this, and this really blew me away. He said, now listen, church, I think a few of you might be called to join them. Hallelujah. Whoa. Who does that? And actually, he said, we believe so much in what God is doing through them that if you feel called to do that, we just want to bless and honor that and send you out. And actually, a couple of the key early leaders and pillars in our church came from that congregation and were with us for many years. It was amazing the spirit of hospitality that is on this man and on his church. And it challenged me so deeply to want to be that way, to have that kind of open, releasing welcoming spirit. This is a key characteristic of the body of Christ. And that whole experience really marked me about having a hospitable spirit. And I believe that that is the call and the grace on this church as well. So the second thing that we see is in Hebrews 13, 1-2, offer hospitality to strangers. And this is such a fascinating little passage. Now, the author of Hebrews says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. I bet you weren't expecting what he says next. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Isn't that interesting? There seems to be this whole kind of theology of you never know who it is who you're going to be hosting. And actually, sometimes angels can come in the most interesting disguises. And of course, it refers back to that place in the Old Testament where Abraham and Sarah host the three strangers who end up being angels. And it's a really special story. But here's the point, you never know who you'll be hosting. And this is the pure meaning of the word hospitality, kindness to strangers. And if we take Matthew 25 seriously, I just want to say, Jesus says, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. When we welcome the stranger, we are actually welcoming Christ. And so there's this interesting connection of hosting, of welcoming strangers, and of welcoming Christ. And one of the things that I love most about this wonderful city of Sheffield, it's my adopted home now, I love it so much. This city was the UK's first ever city of sanctuary for asylum seekers and refugees. I don't know if you knew that or not. And it's marked by this, in fact, there used to be this thing in the cobblestones on the moor, and I can't remember exactly what it said, but it was about the city's motto, and it said, we welcome the outsider. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I think it's written into the founding of this city. I don't know all the details of that, but this city is known for being a city of sanctuary, a city of refuge. And they talk a lot about building a culture of welcome and hospitality. In an age where there are so many people putting up walls, scared of the stranger, scared of those that are different. You know, we live in a city that is wanting to say, we welcome the outsider. And the University of Sheffield now has a fully funded scholarship degree for an asylum seeker. The first ever, they call it, it's become a university of sanctuary. So we live in a place that says we welcome the stranger. We can learn from that. And surely, church, we can really wholeheartedly jump in and be a part of that. Let's join in with what the city is up to and be that kind of people of extravagant welcome and hospitality. Not just to those we already know and love, but to the stranger as well. My wife is involved. She's a caseworker with something called the Snowdrop Project. Some of you may have heard of it. She basically supports rescued victims of human trafficking. And their stories are tragic. Many of them have been trafficked in from Eastern Europe. There's one particular person who she works with who came from Eastern Europe and along the way in her trafficking experience got pregnant, had a child. It's a shocking story, but she's helped support her through her asylum seeker application and process. And we did that. It's so funny. We did that to try to show welcome to the stranger. But we've gotten to know her and her family. And what's amazing is she is the most hospitable person we know. Every time we go over there, she is preparing these feasts and this food. And some of it is so spicy, I can't even eat it. But it's amazing. And she has so little. And yet she gives our kids gifts every Christmas. It's just incredible how hospitable her heart is. And there's something, again, we can learn even from other cultures about this thing of hospitality. Isn't it funny that sometimes our attempts to give that actually become powerful learning lessons in how to receive it? And that has really been the case for us with her. It's been a beautiful relationship. So I was thinking about these images of hospitality and of hosting, and so many of them are actually household images based around the home. And I started to think about my own house and the way we can use our homes in hospitality, both literally and metaphorically. So when you enter into my house, if you don't go up the stairs, you find yourself in the lounge, or the living room, as I would say. And the lounge leads through to the dining area, and then that goes off into the kitchen. And it made me think about three levels of welcome that we can offer. The first is the lounge. And the lounge is about honor. When we open the doors of our home to someone, we are saying to them that they are valuable. We're saying to them that we honor them. The same is true in opening up our calendars, in opening up our wallets, in inviting people to join us at the park or the cinema or a restaurant or whatever. This is the initial level of welcome, and it's about a culture of honor. And living with open doors communicates this, I think, this value and honor like nothing else. So we've really tried to make our home, we live up in Hillsborough, we tried to make it a place with open doors. And people know they can come in almost any time. Sometimes slightly more than we would want, but you know, we can have that conversation when we need to. But we've even said with our kids, we want our house to be the place where their friends like to hang out. So it was so funny, at Halloween, everybody just naturally came over to our house, you know, as a kind of base for all the crazy trick-or-treating and things that were going on. And we've said, our house has open doors. Anybody is welcome into our lounge. And people know that. And it's a way to honor people. So the second level, once that honor is established, is when a person goes from the lounge to the dining room. The dining room is about spending deeper time with people. It's about opening our hearts to one another. This is when the dinners go into the early hours of the morning. This is when we start to get vulnerable with people. This is deeper relationship. It's amazing to me how essential the dinner table is for that kind of hospitality and hosting, where we learn vulnerability, where the masks come off, where we can be ourselves, where we can learn about openness, forgiveness, what real community is, and eating together, playing games together. Our family was up late last night playing a game around the table, sharing life around the dinner table. This is a mark of authentic Christian community, and this is when real relationships happen. It takes the risk of hospitality and inviting people to the dinner table. And then finally, the third area is the kitchen. And this is funny. This is the guest who just lets themselves into the kitchen and cooks your food. Who just joins in with the cleaning up naturally. Who feels so at home. They help you to welcome the next guests. This is the level of intimacy and of serving together. And this is when we learn not just about serving with open hands, but about receiving from others as well, which sometimes is even harder, I think. It's receiving other people's servants. It's important at this point that dynamic is going both ways. We lead a missional community in our neighborhood, and all the core of the families are all a 5 minutes walk from each other. It's so funny. They all just come into our house and just start cooking. Just start making the tea and coffee. They just feel very at home. And sometimes there's a few too many cooks in the kitchen, and you have to kind of shoo a few people out, you know, and create a little order there. But what's great is they help with the cleanup and the dishes, and they're just part of life with us. That is a deep and mutual level of hospitality. It can be messy, but it's really beautiful. This kind of mutuality, this mutual serving and sharing, is a profound expression, which to me takes hospitality to a whole deeper level. So a community with this kind of hospitality, open doors in living rooms, lounges, open and vulnerable hearts around the dinner table, open hands in mutual service, is truly a Christ-honoring community. And I think it gets to the heart of this whole concept. And I was thinking about it, and I even thought a bit further, there's one more possible dimension to this. And this is the way that we welcome the Lord Jesus into our hearts and into our homes. We host one another. We host the stranger. We host the Holy Spirit. And actually, I felt like Jesus said, I don't want to just be with you in the living room, in the dining room, the kitchen. I want to be with you in the bedroom and the bathroom. Not in a weird way. That could sound really weird. But I want to be in every intimate detail of your lives. There's something about inviting him into the very core of our lives and of who we are, of hosting his presence in every little nook and cranny of our hearts and lives. And I think that's the third way to be a people of hospitality, is to host God in everything, in all that we are, in all that we do. To live lives that genuinely host his presence in every detail and are sensitive to him. And I just want to say, I think all three of those are key prophetic callings on you as a people, on this church. I really do. To be that kind of people who host one another, who host the stranger, and who host the presence of God. It's worth just saying very quickly that ultimately the reason we practice hospitality is because God has been hospitable to us. While we were strangers, while we were foreigners, while we were separate from him, he sent his son and he invited us in. And there's something about bearing his image as we go. There's something about extending hospitality that is actually expressing the image of God to those around us, which is very profound. And that flows out of thankfulness when we realize all that he's done for us. And that's the connection. And I just wanted to tie the two themes together and say, when you're thankful, it's a lot easier to be generous and hospitable to others. Because you know everything you've had, everything God's given you is a gift. Let me end with this quote from Henry Nouwen. This is from a book, Reaching Out, the Three Movements of the Spiritual Life, from 1975, but I think it's possibly more true today than ever. He says, our society seems to be increasingly hard and full of fearful, defensive, aggressive people, anxiously clinging to their property and inclined to look at their surrounding world with suspicion, always expecting an enemy to suddenly appear, intrude, and do harm. I think that feels pretty true. But still, that is our vocation, to convert the hostis into a hospice. I love that. The hostility into a hospitable place of belonging, a hosting hospitality. To convert the enemy into a guest. And to create the free and fearless space where brotherhood and sisterhood can be formed and fully experienced. And I just think that's a wonderful call to us to live this countercultural way in the midst of the fearful, possessive, suspicious society, to practice this kind of radical hospitality. I wonder what God is saying to you today. And I just want to take a quick moment here to pray. And in fact, could we all stand up together? The key emphasis I thought of today was this: let's practice. Let's have a go. It doesn't so much matter what you do, but I bet for every one of us here, there are one to two things that you can take away from today and have a go with. And be creative, be practical, think outside the box. Let me pray for us, and you just be listening to the Holy Spirit as we respond to him today. Lord, thank you that you are the source of all hospitality. Father, that when we were far from you, you invited us in. That you've welcomed us into your family, you've welcomed us into your home, you've shared your life with us so generously and abundantly. And I pray that we would reflect your image to everyone around us, to our fellow believers, to the strangers who we come across, and ultimately that we would host you and receive and welcome you in every detail of our lives. Let us be the kind of people that experience the deep community that comes from honor, from vulnerability, from mutual serving and intimacy. And I just pray you'd speak into every person's heart here one or two specific things. For those that are weary and they hear this and they go, oh man, not another challenge. Lord, I just pray grace and refreshing for them. And I pray all of us would know what to do from here to embrace your call on our lives in this area. Thank you for your grace, Lord.